How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists. Cursed with audio issue.
Well, I think it's because you had actually said the words, like, it's happening again. And it wasn't happening today until you said those words, so.
The adventures of Andrew and Michelle.
Yeah.
They continue.
Yeah. It's ugly. It's ugly, folks. We don't know what we did to the podcasting gods, but we really pissed them off somehow.
We really did. Whoever has, like, a podcasting voodoo doll out there.
This was like
mercy.
Poking our
doll. We surrender. We surrender.
Like severing the pretend microphone cords for us, and
yes,
it's not pretty. But
so if you listened to last week, you heard that we got some issues with an SD card. Just now, my computer just said system overload and stopped recording all of a sudden.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
so
always something, dude.
An update with the SD card. So I've talked to Kroll. Something services, whatever. And we are sending the card out this week coming up. And they're going to do an evaluation and tell us what files they can save off of it. It is not looking great.
Okay. Already. They were just like, don't get your hopes up.
Yeah. And it's also going to cost about between $400 and $900, they said. So we will see how worth it is for us to keep those. Here's the thing that I'm having the hardest time with it is those are irreplaceable moments in life.
Exactly.
And money is just money. Not that I have the money. Just saying that in general, like
poor hygiene podcasters.
When I die, you know, it's not really going to matter anything else, and we can leave these audio files behind. So that's kind of the thing that I'm thinking about, and hopefully we can figure out if we want to save these things, if it's possible or not. So that's the update for that. And again, gracious. I'm really sorry about all of this.
It happens, dude. Now, lesson learned. Oh, we are going to upload immediately.
You know what I was thinking? You know what would be really cool is if that is the Zoom H6 had the capability to upload directly.
Had like Wi-Fi on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do better, Zoom. That does seem like a really smart thing. If I can do that with my camera.
Yeah.
Like upload straight from my camera onto Wi-Fi, like through Wi-Fi, it would make sense that that would be done. But
so I'll send them an email and have them work
until
on
then,
the next one.
They should pay for this screw up is what it should be.
I don't think that's how it works.
You don't have this feature and now I've lost everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's not how it works. Okay.
So also this week, I am in lots of pain this week.
Why?
I don't know. My back and my neck still. My shoulder is really killing me. And like we went to Las Vegas for vacation. And you know the Cirque du Soleil? shows. Mm-hmm. Like they do the acrobats and stuff like that. And they're like, hey, mm-hmm. Andrew, come help, you know, do these shows with us. I'm like, okay, fine. So I was on the trapeze way up high. And no, none of that's actually true. But
wish you could see my face right now.
It was disbelief, everyone. It was just disbelief. She's like, why are you even telling this? I know it's not true already. Just shut up. That's what it was. We were in Vegas this week on like a family vacation, and we just stayed at the hotel, like the little resort area.
Which I feel like that's just an oxymoron.
I know. I get that a lot. But
family vacation.
Like the place we stayed at was like,
it's like two different sentences.
Yeah, I mean, but there's like three swimming pools, and they had, you know, different places to eat there. I mean, it's like a resort type place off the strip.
I mean, if you can stay away from the strip, then it's probably fine.
And we did, except for we went to M&M World and the Rainforest Cafe with the kids.
How many strippers were approaching your children?
I mean, Zach took one home. And
way to raise them, man.
Yeah. I'm like, well, as long as they're, you know, a 9 or above. I mean, let's not get the ugly ones.
Standards. Teach them right.
Anyways, so I would wake up Monday, let's say Tuesday night, and I was just dying. My shoulder was on fire, and I couldn't figure it out. So when I came home, we came home Wednesday, and I went to the chiropractor, got a massage and stuff like that. That didn't help. And then Thursday, I went to the chiropractor again, had them look at it again, and it didn't help. And then yesterday, Saturday, I did the same thing, and it didn't help. And so now I'm getting kind of worried because, like, I never had any of these back or neck or shoulder issues until before the car crash. But I have a hard time really thinking that it's really just because of the car crash.
Might have been something that just triggered, like, set, you know, push you over the edge. Maybe. I mean, are they teaching you exercises and stuff? Are you stretching?
I'm not supposed to stretch.
Are you doing anything other?
They specifically said don't stretch because my ligaments with whiplash are repairing and it's going to take 6 months. They said to do normal everyday exercise routines that I normally would be doing, which includes dental hygiene. And I feel like that's...
Have you researched this at all?
Researched what a doctor tells me? No, I don't. I just do what they tell me.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, every dentist that's ever said anything has been really spot on, too. So...
Well, I changed chiropractors because I didn't like the other ones. Because I heard... Remember we talked about that before?
Remember we've also talked about just because there's a DR in front of their name doesn't mean that they know everything.
Which is
I also think that you shouldn't get your degree from Google, but you should just be an informed person so you have the right questions to answer or ask. And then if they are not giving you answers, like, find out why.
Okay. They just said heat and ice. They do heat and ice and just
are you doing that?
And
And are you doing that, Andrew?
Yeah, I am. Michelle, look at my eyes.
I trust that as far as I can throw you, buddy.
No, and I have, there's like a little massage chair at work and stuff I use too.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah.
You know, sometimes there's too much massage.
Maybe.
I think I've done that before.
Guess what they told me to do this last time.
I foam rolled like crazy, and they were like, put the foam roller away. Do not touch it for at least 1 week. I'm like, but it feels so good.
I get to have, you know, cupping with the massages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's like, it's not the one that Michael Phelps has, the one where like it leaves marks on you. It's like a big giant hickey.
Oh, I get that all the time.
They use, there's like oils or something they use. And so that like she pulls it like across your back.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that sounds lovely.
Have Graston and ART done on my neck and my back, which ART, it's just like, oh my God, my cat's freaking out next to me. It's just, I probably just looked up Graston and ART, but it will, if there's like any kind of adhesion right there at the top of the skin, it'll not blister it, but like almost do like petechiae. So it looks like you have just a giant hickey down that one neck muscle. Like, so just the trap or the SCM, I'll have just like a long line and they're like, maybe you should just wear your hair down today.
Like, who are you making out with that makes this long line?
what octopus latched onto your neck. So that's a bummer. I'm sorry, bud.
Yeah, it's okay. Life goes on. It's time for right now? We have two more things we need to get through before we introduce this episode.
Yeah, I got a boat to go on.
Oh, that boat. Okay, let's talk about the boat too in a minute. Reviews.
Oh, we got more reviews?
We do. I'll only read one of them this time, and I'll read more next time.
We got more than one?
This one was from June 9th. We're a little bit behind, obviously. It says, interview start time, please, by Centaur 12543. As a dental hygiene student, I have learned so much from this podcast. It is funny and informative. My only suggestion would be to post the time that the interview starts in the comments of each episode. Sometimes I don't have time for the whole thing, and it is hard to find just scrolling through. Thanks. So that is actually a
Andrew
great
and Michelle
suggestion.
Shut up and put the interview on.
Yeah, that's pretty much, and that's not even the first time we've heard that. So, good call on that one. Here's the reason why we're not going to do that. Only because
we're not.
We're gonna put the start time. No, I mean, this is what we're going to do for you. If you promise to hang in there with us, dear dental hygiene student listener. When we start getting paid Buco dollars and have someone produce this for us, they will start putting it in the show notes. But that's a lot of work because a lot of times we record our, are you going to do it? You're giving me a face like,
I don't think it's, I mean, I could easily see when I edit my portion of it, like how many minutes we're into it.
Okay. So
I could do that.
Disregard everything I said. Michelle's going to start putting it in the show notes for us. is what I heard.
The difference is that Andrew doesn't do that part. I do that part. Like I do our intro and segments and stuff. So, I mean, you mash it all together. So it really isn't that hard on your end either. That hard.
It's another step in the whole process.
No, it just stops recording. I don't know what's going on. We're back. After yet another record for the love of all technical difficulties.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll see. We've restarted things and we'll try again. And we're just talking about how it's going to be so easy for you to edit all this and add another step in the process. And
so maybe you won't get it on this one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
See, I'm just telling you, it's like, oh my gosh. I am so...
It's a podcasting gods. We have pissed them the F off.
I am so over the all the little tiny problems that we have that like, it shouldn't even be that big of a problem, but like something like this, like we had to stop recording again for like the fourth time.
I know.
And then restart. I'm like, okay, where were we in this whole thing? We were on reviews, but I think we're done with that review. And it sounds like Michelle's
so,
going to try
at the point of that review, I'm going to try. But this is how much we love you guys and we love the feedback because it makes us like want to do it more despite all of this nonsense that keeps happening to us. Like some days it's just, it makes me want to pick up my computer and throw it across the room. Like it and say all of the cuss words.
Well,
all of
and, them. And later on in this episode with the interview, there's actually a really big announcement that we're making that is going to include a few people. And I think that's going to make this part of it, like the show notes and things like that we're talking about, a lot easier. And it's really exciting. So we'll get to that though in a little bit though. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I know Michelle wants to talk about going out on a boat today.
Oh, I don't want to talk. I'm just saying I got to go. I need to go on a boat. I'm so excited. Well, I go on the boat all the time. It's not like a big deal.
Yeah,
but,
you do. But what was this Creek Olympics thing that you're telling me about?
Oh, so yesterday I did Creek Olympics, which is... like you get a partner and it's a team and you start with slip and slide flip cup. Then you go to the creek and you paddle board, go around a buoy, come back. The person kayaks, goes around and like, you're just like whoever wins. So each thing you're like trying to win the most. Then there's like can jam and cornhole and ladder golf. And it's just a lot of activities.
It sounds actually like
a lot of
fun.
Drinking.
Minus the drinking part. On
it
mine,
was so but, much fun. Yeah. Well, I mean, the flip cup is kind of like where you have to drink with flip cup, but all the rest of them, like You don't. I mean, if you don't want to, you don't have to. It's just more of, we have always a beer in the hand. Is like, you, when you step up to like the game with the team you're going against, you say, is this a beer in hand or two hands? Like, because like can jam, which is like throw the frisbee and you're trying to hit it in a certain part of this can, mm-hmm. almost. And so you, your partner, like if I throw it to you, you have the ability to smack it to hit this can if I like overthrew. Well, if you only have one hand and a beer in the other, like it definitely ups your skill level. So
factor increases.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that yesterday was Creek Olympics. Today is the boat, which I mean, it's 4th of July weekend, you know, yeah. It's a lot of outdoorsy activities. And I got to meet everybody at the landing promptly because this is a busy weekend. So parking's a biatch, and getting out there without somebody dying is also, you know, it's a little crazy on the water. Yeah. Normally I don't go out for the 4th. I was really talked into this.
Do you guys have restrictions on fireworks and stuff there? Because it's not as dry there.
Oh, I was having this conversation yesterday. Listen, I mean, the great state of South Carolina. You can buy fireworks. It is illegal to shoot them.
Interesting. Is it just aerial ones, or like you can't light any of them?
You can't light any of them.
Really?
And but there's a firework stand every stoplight. You can buy them, but don't fire them.
Interesting. It's so, way to go, South Carolina.
It's so ridiculous. I know. I know. It kills me sometimes. So, yeah. But we, today, we are going to have our buddy, Sarah Thiel from CE Zoom on. We're really excited. Andrew, like, even recorded this later so I could be a part of it. Because I was like, but I love talking to Sarah.
Yeah.
So, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah. You're welcome, buddy. That's what we do. But Sarah has, Sarah and the podcast have been working diligently since, I want to say it's October of last year, on a special project that that we're going to talk about in this interview. So be excited. It's awesome. And we can't wait to share it with you guys.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah.
It's time for the interview.
Oh, but I had something else to say.
We need to let the experts talk now.
Fine.
Oh, no.
What?
What?
Oh, I was just thinking about who we have for our interview. No, don't worry. We don't have any audio issues.
You can't say
I know,
that.
We're fine.
Do you understand what that does to my level of anxiety already this morning after all of this?
It's been a bad day. It's been a bad day.
I just want to say, Michelle, you had to, like, it's probably a good thing Andrew's in Washington.
Wait, it's a good thing for my life to be
for your
still
life.
Alive?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see what he does to me all the time?
Uh-huh.
I'd smack your face if you're right here in front of me.
Wow. I've never felt so much hostility.
That's actually
like
nice.
Eggs on.
Well, I just, I don't know. I've been through some stuff with my business partner lately for her supporting me, and I would punch me, and she is so nice. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's a sign of a good friendship.
Yeah.
You think.
Yeah,
oh, it is.
Let's agree to disagree on that. But anyways, if you haven't been able to tell so far, this is our dear friend Sarah Thiel back on that podcast for fourth time, third time.
Oh no! Well,
you were a guest host.
This is only my second interview.
Yeah,
second interview.
Yeah, but I've been on the podcast like 6 times, but half of them didn't get aired.
Why, I wonder.
I don't know. Maybe Andrew lost it.
What happened
Michelle
in that hotel room?
Sarah
that
drank
time?
Wine and got inappropriate.
You know, I'll tell you what though. That's not the only time that Michelle has been with a friend, and we tried to record, and it just did not make it to air.
Dang it! It's okay.
Just,
I feel like though, for our listeners that are like super loyal, that we should just for subscribers, like send it out just to certain people because the ridiculousness in those pop episodes are just fantastic.
Yeah,
I've
and I
to
think
them before and I
they
laugh.
Would appreciate them.
I think
they,
somebody would appreciate it. Somebody.
Someone needs to have a much better day, get a glass of wine, just listen to us being stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, the reason why you're here today, because we love you and we missed you.
I'm like,
Andrew,
I'm not really sure.
Andrew messed up and you
we were not desperate.
our, by default.
Our saving grace this week.
You really did save our bacon a lot, so thank you very much for being on. But also, I really wanted to kind of catch up a little bit with CE, because you and I have had lots of conversations over the last, since October AADB, mm-hmm. about the different requirements it takes to be able to deliver CE. So, for example, one of the big announcements that we want to make today is that we're going to start offering CE for the podcast episodes.
Woohoo! It's exciting!
And it's going to be free CE also. We're not going to charge the listeners for any of this crap. So, the problem that we had, though, was trying to become... Yeah, any of the crap that our people speak. Anyways, you've heard Michelle speak. It's all crap. Yeah. So,
actually, Michelle has some research.
Yeah.
She does. Mm-hmm. Every freaking episode. It's just awesome. Yep. So, anyways, the problem, though, that we had was trying to find a provider for the CE. And that's kind of where you came in and was trying to help us troubleshoot. So, can you go over maybe some of the things that people assume about who can give CE and who can't give CE and all that?
Oh my goodness. If you guys even understood the level of assumption that goes on in this world, it's pretty comical.
It's sad and scary.
It is. So to be able to speak, you have to at least be qualified. So you'd have to have some form of a CV.
I feel like there's so much even in that statement.
Let's start there.
Sorry.
Okay. Wow. So you have to have some form of education to speak on the topic.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Right out the gate.
Right out of the gate. Okay. Yeah. So you got to have that. Why is that so funny? That's the truth.
I think about the list of all the people that
you don't even
speak.
Know what people come to us with. That's why I say right away. Right away. What is your level of education? Can you? Yeah. Are you qualified to give this information? Like, what makes you the expert in this? Because technically, if you're speaking about it and you're teaching people about it, you're some form of an expert in some way. So what qualifies you to be able to give this? So you have to have something. We need proof before we'll certify you. And then, what else? Okay, so the content that you're giving has to be relative to dentistry, obviously. There's a lot of states that will accept CE that's just whatever, but they'll usually only accept like 5 or 6 of those credits. But 90% of the states don't. It has to directly relate to clinical dentistry. So like one of the courses that everybody gives and takes that doesn't count is ergonomics. Mm-hmm. Because that doesn't directly relate to patient care. Now there's ways to make your presentation better and talk about like the products in dentistry that are going to help with direct patient care, but it's still
instrumentation.
Tough. Yeah. Like, things like that. Certain types of like a nice dental chair where the patient can like something that has to interact with the patient, but that still has to be 70% of your presentation. It can't just be like, oh, I'm going to just add in a couple instruments and call it good.
Right.
That's not, you know, like there was a course called Yoganomics or yoga for the hygienist or yoga, you know? And I'm like, well, first of all, the title kind of throws it off. Like if I were a state board member getting that, because in my state, we don't accept that. I'd be like, Yoganomics. Nope. That obviously has nothing to do with dentistry. Yeah. You know, just stuff like that. So, and here's the deal is the AGD, they don't check that. Like we'll certify a course as long as it's like, so say you do come to me with Yoganomics, we'll certify it, but we're not saying it's counting in every state. So just because it's AGD certified, we're just saying this person is qualified to speak. They are speaking on yoga and ergonomics. And those are the categories we're putting in there. It's up to you to know if your state will accept it or not.
So let's back up just a little bit. So let's talk about who the AGD is. And when you say putting the category, what do you mean by putting in the category?
So the AGD is the Academy of General Dentistry. It's them and the ADA SERP. So AGD PACE, ADA SERP, those are the two that are accepted in every single state. California's tough. California, you still have to do some things sometimes, but it's still accepted, like that type of course. Mm-hmm. So basically, they're the accrediting body. Okay. If you go to your hygiene association, typically they're, we don't want to go into that, but they're typically the ones that are, okay, let's just forget that. I said that. Okay.
Let's just jump right over.
I'm trying to give examples of, your college. Like colleges are an acceptable form of an approved provider, which doesn't make any sense to me because, nobody's actually checking these CVs. Nobody's actually keeping track. It's just a college. So why does it make that? Why are they approved? Like, I don't even understand, but whatever. So that's just how it works. But those are the main two. If you go to a course, stop laughing, Andrew.
I'm so sorry. It's just like,
I can tell that there's,
it's so true. And it's frustrating that that's what's kind of going on.
Yeah. Like there's no regulation behind a lot of it, unless it's like an AGD or ADA CERB course, because they have to be, because they actually check it. So that's cool. But if you go to one of those classes, it is accredited, okay? Doesn't mean it's going to count, though. That's something you need to be aware of. Like, oh my gosh, I have presented at, I'm going to just throw a number out there, like 20-something dental boards. Mm-hmm. Every single time there is a dentist on a dental board that says, well, we just have the AGD track our CE for us, and we're good. I'm like, okay, so that course that this dentist I know took in Oregon on energy, that counts? And he's like, well, what are you talking about? I'm like, and I had a certificate of this, my business partner's husband. I can say his name, Brent. Brent went and took this course in Oregon, and we got the CE certificate, and it said energy. Like, using your body's energy. Like, that was this course. Like, that's what it taught him. It was AGD approved. But really, like, that doesn't count in any state.
No.
And they're like,
well, it's Michelle's kind of course, to be
but
honest.
But then they're like, they were like,
all about it.
They didn't get it. Like, this is a board member. These are board members that approve CE. And he was like, huh? What? What are you talking about? It's AGD approved. Right. But your state specifically calls out, you can't have anything related to self-help. An energy course is 100% self-help.
Yeah.
And then
you take that energy in and you give it back to your patient. So it's actually directly related to patients.
I guess. Well, maybe you can talk about your
transference
patient's
of energy.
Jesus.
That's, yeah.
You need
I'm just
saying. To argue some of these CEs.
It is. So that's the funny part. Like, that's where the problem lies. You know, like, nobody knows. The state board members. Wow. I am one. Andrew's one. Mm-hmm. We write these rules. And then we don't even understand them. Well, some people don't. Obviously,
especially when you're volunteering for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And you're not taught properly going into it.
But the funny thing is, like, okay, so like the state board member doesn't get it, but the executive director, whoever's doing the audit, they get it, and they're going to deny your certificate. Yet our own dentists and hygienists on our own state boards don't understand.
So what
I'm not throwing anyone under the
when you present that to them and you kind of shine a light on a problem, what is their feedback and response to that?
It's different everywhere. It depends on, and I try to be careful. You know, I'm trying to sell my product to them. Right. I don't want to be like, in your face, you know?
Yeah. How do you like me now? Say something about that.
honestly, like, sometimes they're like, I get, like, it just makes them think, really. Yeah. And I had one that was fighting me till the death. And I just finally was like, okay, your little tracker of AGD, which is great, is going to make sure you're compliant, even though it's not. But it's a counter. It's telling you you've completed 50 hours of an AGD-approved course, of AGD-approved courses. But if you were ever to get audited by your state, which you won't, probably, because you're on the state dental board. Well, you might. I guess it's random.
Air quotes.
Air quote, random. You probably won't get audited. You'll never know any different. But that's the problem. Like, I could go on. It just frustrates me so bad, the issues. And the fact that I could lose my license over this, you know, like, that's what bothers me.
Well, the thing is like, okay, good for you. You might not get checked because you are on the dental board. But how many others that are you representing that you're just kind of screwing over?
Exactly. Well, just because you don't understand. That's the problem. Like, if you're going to write these rules, enforce them.
Yeah.
Or don't write them. Like, there's obviously a reason that these rules got written.
Right.
Obviously, they want you guys. So the whole point of continuing education, let's start there, is for us to continually get educated while we're practicing. Because how often do things change? And a lot of people are just like cheating the system. They're going on little websites and getting free CE that have nothing to do with anything. And mm-hmm. Or they're not doing anything because their states don't audit. And they know it. You know? But I'm sorry.
We won't insert the states here, though.
No, we're not going to insert which states are not auditing. But I will say that there are several that don't. Because they can't. So
I guess this is kind of like, this is the problem with what we wanted to do is by offering CE, we're trying to figure out, it's like, okay, well, it's really hard. We need to make sure that we're really on the up and up when we are offering this for the podcast. So for you, when you're looking at, you know, all these other problems, and then we say, okay, well, now we want to offer for the podcast. Well, how do you get accredited, or how do we get accredited to be able to offer?
Oh yeah.
Like, what's the next step after the AGD or whatever?
I totally like got off on a tangent on that.
So easy with this topic. Great.
I know. I'm sorry. Especially cause I'm so passionate about it. obviously. So you'll send in a CV. That's where we got to. And then what we're going to require from you is we want to see all of your overview, your objectives. We want to make sure whatever is being spoken about is with the... Okay, so there's AGD codes. ADA SERP, I don't believe, has them. I'm not as familiar with ADA SERP. But AGD PACE does have codes. So like a perio class, we would look up that code. It's like, it's almost like a code, you know, for insurance, you know,
yeah,
but it's like 34-22, and the AGD knows what that means. And then we just put it into our program as perio. And so then that was a bad example because that course is going to count everywhere. But if it didn't for some reason, coming through CE Zoom, it would tell you. Mm. That's the beauty of it. Now, like a yoganomics, it would tell you, oh, that does not count for your state.
That's not going to count for your state.
Yeah.
But it will for some.
Your overall total of numbers.
Yeah, it'll tally it, but
apply to your license.
Right.
Yeah, we won't track it. You're still going to stay at whatever you're at.
And I think it's also important to say that these classes, you should take them.
Yes.
But I think that the problem with a lot of our profession is that people take bare minimum. And so they have to have those classes that are going to count towards their license because they're doing bare minimum. So if you are that person, you can't take this class and get the things that you'll get from it, the knowledge and experience and ability to take care of your body, because you have to go take all these other classes to count towards your license. So just do more.
Right.
Do more.
Well, there was an example. We were running at a conference somewhere, and Angie Stone, she won't care if I say this, I'm pretty sure. She was teaching a course on writing your resume and writing like how to make a cover letter, like super important stuff, but it doesn't count for CE. Right. So we let her know, and which she's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, yeah, but just so like you might need to make a disclaimer because I guarantee other people don't know that. So at the beginning of her class, she said, no, she sent out an email before and just said, just letting you know, this course is very valuable, but it does not count for CE. I think half the people didn't come, which was really sad.
Crazy.
I'm like, what in the world? I mean, she still had a pretty good amount come, but like a lot of those people went to a different class that would count for their CE because they're only there.
They're doing the bare minimum.
To get their CE, which is so sad. Because, you know, and that's like where there's a problem with, you know, like...
Right.
With regulating something like that and mandating it, people don't see the value. They think, oh, I have to do this, instead of you should enjoy doing this. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, Andrew, getting off again. So you're going to send objectives. You're going to send an overview to us. We're going to review it. We're going to put it with the right AGD code. We're going to make sure you're a qualified speaker. And then you can do it. You're going to be AGD approved. You get that approval for about a year-ish is what we certify it for. Sometimes you can get a course and we can approve it for, over and over. Like if you want to give it like 10 times, it's approved. We approve it one time and then you just keep giving it. Or every time you give a new course, you have to submit it to us before it can go on CE Zoom.
So how would that work for a podcast episode? After 1 year, it doesn't work anymore, or?
It's actually 2 years, but it just depends on our accreditation because we have to renew every so often. Mm-hmm. And you just never know if you're going to lose it or not, you know? So we don't promise anyone anything because of that. I mean, there's no reason we should. But
for a second. So you are applying to who to be accredited?
So we apply to the AGD.
Okay.
So CE Zoom is AGD approved. Okay. And it is a nightmare.
Yes.
If you've ever done it.
I'm approved for TEPE and I wanted to shoot myself.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Have you started renewing yet?
That will be next month. I'm going to start doing like all the minutes and the things. And
I think it's due August 1st. Well, ours is. Anyway, so Kat has been working on that. I'm just telling you, this is the problem with this accreditation. It's a nightmare. We're renewing for January, and it's due August 1st. So just,
I know this now. Okay.
I don't know if that's when yours is due, but that's when ours is due. And I would assume, or ours are due at the same time.
My anxiety level just went to like the max.
Oh, crap.
But it takes oh my gosh. So Kat called me yesterday. She's like, Sarah, I finally finished it. 70 pages. 70 to resubmit.
Yeah. Yours is a little bit more intense. I'm just like me, myself, and I. So
hopefully. That's true. It's just horrible. But okay, the beauty of it is by using CE Zoom, all your stuff is in one spot.
Yeah.
If that makes you feel any better.
Oh, and which is why, giving my presentations with TEPE, I use CE Zoom, and it is really nice to have all of those. I mean, I've worked through a lot of little things as like, now I make it super apparent that I will not give the code out after. Write it down. Like, I can monitor and track if you are on the webinar or not. If you're not interacting and you're engaged, like, GoToWebinar tells me that. And, like, now I'm just like, it's out there. First 5 minutes, if you aren't present for the rest of it, don't email me after this. Don't, like, because how many did I send that you and poor Kat? And I was like, what do I say to these people? I'm just like a week later, and they're like, my daughter took my attention, and I missed that last slide. I'm like, well, I actually don't believe you. I know it's probably true, but I don't believe you. Like, because this is ridiculous.
Remember that girl? No, there was a girl that we totally caught. It's just crazy. Like, don't try and cheat the system.
Hold
we got you.
What happened? Tell me
we
the
got
story behind
you.
The girl. You can't
she
say
was just
remember
trying
that girl and then
system.
Not tell me the story.
Well, again,
she
analytics.
She was pinning me.
Yeah.
Yes, she was trying to pig us against Michelle.
Yeah.
Little did they know we're friends.
Right.
So
they were placing the blame on either one of us. Like, they were yelling about CE Zoom to me. They were yelling about me. Like, it was just... I was like, but you, I'm looking at your analytics. You literally didn't engage in this webinar at all.
Her thing was, because Michelle was asking questions throughout, like, what color would you put in this embrace?
Yeah.
I don't even know the words.
No, that's right.
You know, for the TEPE brushes, I was listening, I promise. So you just type like orange, yellow, like whatever color you felt you would use. She's teaching you how to use these brushes correctly. And so Michelle asked this girl, okay, well, what was one of the questions that I asked? Well, you didn't ask any questions. I'm like, bull crap. She asked questions like every 5 minutes. So you know she wasn't on.
Yeah.
Like, it was just kind of funny.
But that's anyway. This kind of stuff. And, you know, going, I'm actually really glad to have CE Zoom to back me as like a sounding board, almost like, how do I handle this? Like, I couldn't imagine doing this on my own and then doing all of the stuff after the fact and the surveys and then typing out the CE credit, like, for each one of them. Like, it's a lot, and I don't want to do it. So thank God for CE.
And you don't have to. You just make one certificate, and boom.
It's done.
You're done.
It's done. So when we look at, like, because you and I have had this conversation about references before and citing and making sure that everything is up to date. Are you guys doing that too? Are you like going through all their references? Because that would be no, so time consuming.
No, we don't. And I mean, we're not required to do that. We just are required to make sure that you're qualified to speak.
Okay.
And then that's up to the speaker.
Okay.
To make sure that, well, you sign a paper. So we don't approve you for AGD because you have your own. But like anybody that comes through us, they have to have all their presenters sign a paper saying that what they're presenting is within 2 years, the research, and that all their images are their own. They didn't steal anything. Like, we have the presenter sign all that.
Okay.
It's a nightmare. Like, people don't want to do it, but we have to.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they steal images off of Google mm-hmm. real quick. And,
yeah.
You
know, they're not their own.
I have never done that, so I don't know what that means.
Well, and you can do that if you give credit.
Right.
So that's where it's just like writing a paper. Like, don't use someone else's words unless you put it in quotes and give them credit. So it's the same thing with the presenting of it. Like, if I jack it off of somebody's, like, half of my pictures are people that have taken clinical photos, and at the bottom of it is like Dr. Frome, Dr. Salerno, like that they took these, and that's allowed. But you can't just jack it off of there and go, look at this. This is my patient that I took a picture of and 3 months into it.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens a lot, unfortunately.
And I think you're supposed to even ask permission.
Yes, you do.
Like, you have to say, can I borrow your image? Like,
yes.
Matt Crespin, he had a thing from the Wisconsin Children's Health Alliance that he'd made for OSHA. And I was like, oh my gosh, can I steal this? Because it was perfect. It was really good to be able, like, I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously said yes. But I mean, I'm leaving it on where it says Wisconsin's Children's Health Alliance. Yes. Like, I won't take that out.
Right.
But anyway.
People do it all the time.
You can't bring up Matt's name. We lost his episode.
So I'm
it's
sorry.
Painful.
Again.
Don't talk about him anymore.
Matt hates you. I'm sure of it.
Well, and then Raphael, we've lost twice now.
Oh, I thought it was Matt that you lost twice.
Oh, no, definitely Raphael and Matt. And so you wonder why they're going to be my best buddies and not yours, Andrew.
I know. I don't wonder why. I understand it. It makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, but I'm sorry. It's not funny.
But you have to laugh at it or you'll go crazy.
Yeah, or it hurts.
I understand
too much.
That.
The pain is too
deep. The pain is too deep. You have to laugh about it.
So, so we're bringing Mike on board, like, for realsies to help be the liaison between CE Zoom and the podcast. What kind of things is he going to have to do? Is he going to be mostly doing the, not the agenda. Why do I always forget? You just said this word.
The objectives.
Outline, the overview and the objectives and everything.
So, yeah, like, Mike is going to have to read or listen to all your podcasts, bless his soul. I'm just kidding. Because he can go back, you know, and, like, as long as the content is, like, 70%
clinical.
Related to dentistry, related to patient care in some way, he can use those. I think there's quite a few. I mean, I've listened to most of your podcasts, and there's quite a few that have some really relevant information. Like, even this podcast, you're learning a ton about laws of ethics, laws in a way, you know, so we could put that. But
so how does that work when the interview is half or three quarters of the episode? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's like a 60-minute episode and you have 30 minutes worth of the interview, do we give out half credits?
No, you can do that and then combine. Yeah.
Isn't it anything over like 35 minutes is a credit?
I think it's 30. I don't know. See, Kat's the one that knows this. She's the one that does all our ADD stuff. But you can give out half credit.
Yeah. But anything.
But I mean, if people are still, it's 50 minutes for, like, if your podcast is only 50 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
and then the content is 70%, 60-70. I can't remember those numbers either, so don't quote me on that. But 60-70% directly related to clinical dentistry, you can give one CE for that. But if it's 30 minutes, you can give half a credit.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's Mike's job to try and figure out exactly how much.
Yeah, he'll do fine. I mean, we had a call the other day, and I mean, it'll be nice to have Mike for you guys because it is a lot of work. But once he gets it, and I'm going to have to teach him how to use CE Zoom and let him
it's
do
easy,
all that
though.
Part. You'll be.
And then it's going to
be easy.
Me and Andrew in the back duking it out over what constitutes CE.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Michelle thinks that if it's not like from last month's peer-reviewed journals, it is not CE.
It's not true.
It needs to be about 2 years. new.
Not true. I think that there are some references that are outdated because that's all that we have. No one's done any current things, but this still is applicable. But I think you and I, the questions that we ask the interviewee is going to be very different. Mine are going to be super nerdy and scientific because I want to up the knowledge and you're gonna just be like, so tell me about yourself. You seem like a cool person.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is like you have to get to know the person to be able to like believe what they say. Like I don't believe everything that Sarah says if I didn't know her. You know what I mean?
What?
Let me finish. No, you have to listen to the whole thing.
You just said I don't believe everything Sarah says.
Unless
I
know
her. That's all I heard. That's
so pretty much he's saying
and you stopped listening after you got what you wanted out of that.
They don't know you. It's a lie. They don't believe you.
No, it's hard. It's hard to do that. No, don't. Hey, don't you both try and get like gang up against me. That's not what this podcast is all about. All right. I'm supposed to be the approachable one. I'm supposed to be the nice one. You guys aren't supposed to fight me.
We're not fighting you. We're just
making you better.
Is that not fighting?
We're just making you better.
Oh my gosh, you guys are. Oh my gosh, we. Can't have you guys ever together again. This is too much.
It's too late. We're already besties. Yes. So, sorry.
And you guys didn't go to Midwinter this year? Sorry.
They're going to RDH.
I'm sorry, RDH.
I was like, wait, we can't go back. Already happened. I'm like,
it's Chicago, whatever.
Yeah. It's Chicago, that's why.
Have you told Kat yet?
No. Don't tell her. Okay.
Well, she doesn't listen to this, does she?
No. And this is what I have to do to Kat, because if I do, she'll get a cold sore. She'll be sweating it from like now till then. So don't tell her. Don't tell her.
But for our listeners,
don't tell Kat.
Kat's going to be on the podcast.
And Kat is phenomenal. That girl is the smartest person I think I've ever met. She's just terrified of people.
Which is so weird.
But this kind of stuff.
The great thing, though, is like most people get on here and it's like takes about 3 minutes to get used to just holding the mic. And then it's a conversation. It's like you don't even remember that this will be anywhere outside of that moment.
Right.
Which is nice.
Well, it'll be fine.
Or until it gets dropped on the concrete and shattered. So
I met her at ADHA last year and we talked for like a half hour, like no problem. And that was the first time I've ever met her. Like we talked forever, it felt like, so.
Yeah, no, she's good. It's just it stresses her out because she doesn't feel like I don't know. She's always afraid she's going to use the wrong words and you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I don't know.
She needs to just listen to this podcast one time.
I know. I'm like, I just zone it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to have the podcast as a CE. I mean, we've always talked about like how we want really high-level people that can really – you know, disseminate some edumacation. And so now it's like they can get the CE with it. So now they're getting the conversational style, which I think is also where Andrew and I, and I'll give on this a little bit, but I do think that I'm so used to CE being like very like, we're going to hit this point and this point and this point. Mm-hmm. And Andrew wants it more conversational. And I was like, but I just want to make sure that they're grasping what we're trying to get here. And if we don't make it an actual point where we sit and really talk on it, and it's just like in a sentence, like, oh yeah, by the way, like, you know, you shouldn't use metal scalers on implants. Like, oh yeah, tell us more about that. And then you're like 30 seconds, you're on to another topic. Like, I think that there needs to be more to it. So I think that's where Andrew and I are going to really ping pong back and forth with.
No, because here's the thing. They can just go re-listen to it again.
No, and it's not that they can't listen to it. My issue is like how in-depth are we going to get? I don't want to like it to be super jokey when we're talking about like something very serious.
Mm-hmm. You can still be jokey about it, just as long as people understand
the content,
the information. You know
what I mean? I said I'm going to be...
See, I learn a lot better this way.
I'm going to give it a little...
This is way more fun to learn than sitting in a class with a PowerPoint.
It is.
You know?
Yeah. And I think also, Michelle, one thing that would help us, though, is if we have a guest coming on, writing those objectives ahead of time with them. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That'll kind of help steer the conversation.
And let the guests know that this will be for CE if they have their research, if they can reference things. You know, I mean, As long as the presenter knows ahead of time, the person getting interviewed, then they might. Because sometimes, like, you go on a podcast like this and it's fun and you don't really go into as much depth as you normally would.
Yeah.
But knowing that this is going to be for CE, they will, I think.
Yeah. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope it. Yeah, I hope people really get some good value out of it. I think people have been really receptive so far, and I think this will just take it to the next level and give someone just a little bit more reason to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Just
a little bit.
Or Michelle.
I don't know. I think you guys are pretty fun.
Thanks.
To listen to.
You're fun.
Thanks. I like listening to you.
Well,
but we're also all friends.
For getting up so early and saving Andrew's butt.
Thank you.
Oh, and I need you to understand something. So Phil took my kids camping so I could get work done this weekend, which is awesome. But my neighbors got married on Friday, and it has been a fiesta all weekend. Oh. So I got woke up yesterday. I started telling Michelle this, but I've also been having sleeping problems anyway. But I got woke up at 2 o'clock yesterday morning, and the music didn't stop till 5.
Oh,
and then last night, they were up all night. I don't know when they even went to bed. So I'm really tired. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You're awesome. We appreciate that.
Thanks for rubbing that in. But we'll get together again at RDH Under One Roof, and we'll do a deeper look at CE Zoom. A recap, if you will. Because a lot has changed since last time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's a whole new company now.
Yeah.
So pretty much.
Fun.
It's exciting.
Boop, boop.
We're so proud of you.
Sarah, thank you so, so very much.
Awesome. Well, thanks for waking me up on a Sunday morning. I needed it.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Listeners, I want to tell you a story. A story I found on the web, which makes this Scaling the Web with Andrew. All right, so this week in Scaling the Web, this was, I actually had, you remember Matt posted something the other day about Australia ruling out the bad parts, you know, that saying that fluoride is completely safe, et cetera. I wanted to talk about that one.
Yeah.
But then I found another one as I was just lurking around.
Lurking.
Dental Hacks Nation.
Scaling around.
This one was posted yesterday, July 1st, from the Washington Post, and it says, "The Unexpected Political Power of Dentists." Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
I'm not going to read the whole thing because, as most things, they're too long, but I'll put it in the show notes. So it starts off by reading, "Little in politics has surprised Richard Malabi as much as the power of dentists. For years, local dentists held 4 Christmas parties at Malabi's 19th century country inn in picturesque town of Hancock. But in 2014, Malabi, a Republican lawmaker in the Maine state legislature, voted to create a new type of dental provider to perform basic services in poor and rural areas. The Maine Dental Association, which opposed the bill, was furious. And the dentists took their Christmas parties elsewhere, costing Malabi $6,000 that December and every Yuletide since. Among the general public, dentists tend to have a Norman Rockwell appeal. Solo practitioners who clean your teeth, tell your kids to cut down on the candy, and put their seal of approval on a range of minty toothpastes and mouthwashes. But lawmakers from Maine to Alaska see a different side of dentists and their lobby. The American Dental Association describing a political force so unified, so relentless, and so thoroughly woven into American communities that its clout rivals that of the gun lobby. Malabi says, "I put their power right up there with the NRA. Dentists do everything they can to protect their interests, and they have money. As the cost of dental care rises beyond the reach of millions of Americans, the dental lobby is coming under increasing scrutiny. Critics say the ADA has worked to scuttle competition that could improve access to dental care in underserved areas and make routine checkups and fillings more affordable." And this is actually part from what from your part of the world. It says, "The FDC has battled dentists in state after state over anti-competitive conduct. In 2007, 2007, the FTC successfully settled a complaint over a South Carolina dental board requirement that dentists examine children in school clinics before hygienists can clean their teeth, adding greatly to the cost. In 2015, the FTC won a Supreme Court ruling against North Carolina Dental Board, which tried to block teeth whitening businesses from operating in malls. So I want to be very clear about this. The interesting thing about this type of article, and I still think it's a good read, and I still think that people should read it, but so they talk about the ADA, the ADA, the ADA. And then both those two things with the FTC had zero to do with the ADA. It's with your state board.
They're state dependent, right?
Yeah. So it's like those are two different. I mean, yes, I understand that many state boards and their state associations are heavily intertwined. I get that. But a win for the FTC over a state board is not a win over the ADA.
Right.
But anyways, they do go in to talk a little bit about, you know, dental therapists and access to care and things like that. Talks about there's some stats about, you know, where the dentists, you know, work and what states of the country allow different, you know, practitioner or therapy programs. So anyway, it's a good read, but it was not nice to the dentists at all. In fact, it said one of your things says dentistry has been an old boys club. So that's from someone from the University of Washington.
Good old boys.
Yeah.
Yep. Which just sucks because there's some really great dentists out there.
Yeah.
There's some really wonderful dentists that support their team, that support doing good by the patient. And it's really sad that the louder good old boys are kind of making waves and causing problems and overshadowing the good ones.
Yeah. And I think, you know, towards the end of the article, they do say that things are changing and we'll have people like, you know, Dr. Sullivan was on, and a lot of the people that we've had on our podcast and a lot of people that we interact with are taking
Snapchatting
pictures of yourself. You're so weird.
I was Snapchatting.
Good for you. I don't understand the chatting, the snapping, whatever.
Yes.
So God, anyways, that's the article. Everyone go out and read it. The link will be in the show notes.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. So 6 minutes till Sarah gets here. Do you want to do your part at the end?
No, I can do it real fast.
Okay. Ooh, in 6 minutes? I doubt it. We'll see. Okay, go. Sorry.
It's about that time. Grab your blanket and a glass of wine. It's story time with Michelle.
So, story time with Michelle. Again, it's sans alcohol. This won't be routine after this. I'm sorry, guys. But it is also, again, super early in the morning that we are doing this. I have coffee, but I will soon enough be on a boat with a beer in my hand. So, continuing on with our communication skills for the dental health care provider, we're on chapter 6, refining nonverbal communication skills. And so I'm just going to give like the first paragraph and then we're going to look at the checklist because I found that that's a really great overview of the chapter.
Excellent.
So nonverbal skills matter. Chapter 5 mentioned two sets of communication goals. Task force goals include educating, promoting, and explaining. Emotion focused goals include empathizing, reducing anxiety, encouraging, and enhancing trust. Verbal communication can accomplish both types of the goals entirely without nonverbal communication. Providers can educate patients, promote oral health, and explain procedures without such nonverbal enhancements as without such nonverbal enhancements as facial expression, gestures, or interpretive dance, but they must use spoken or written language. Language is also rich in expressing messages that accomplish emotional focused goals. And so with this in the very back of this checklist, again, I'm trying to learn how to do a mic and a book. So for our chapter checklist, they talk about the nonverbal communication and then fear. And in this, they say you want to portray empathy, friendliness, and competence to increase the satisfaction of the anxious patient. And I want to highlight and underline bold print competence because I think the more you know about the procedure and what that looks like and the most current research. I can't tell you how many times that I've had patients that look up and they're like, God, you really do know a lot about this topic. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it's my job to make sure that I know all of it and inform you in the right way. And it has decreased their anxiety drastically. Because they put their trust level has now increased with you just because you're able to explain it because you know it so well that you, if they don't get it the first way you explain it in a different way. But that only comes after you know something really well. And that's why keeping up to date, I think, is extremely important. You want to use survey instruments such as dental anxiety scale, dental fear survey, or short dental fear questionnaire. For it sounds, you want to understand anxiety triggers such as the sound of instruments, the dental handpiece, crying children, and patients who moan or cry out. And that happens a lot in dental offices, which is always hard. You want to ask the patient for notification before he or she vocalizes. I always ask them to raise their hand or, you know, kind of give me a little signal. Mm-hmm. Invite a parent, family member, or caregiver into the operatory. That's going to be last on my list.
I can't stand that.
Yeah, that will be last. Play music or white noise. Encourage use of the MP3 players or earplugs and close doors or leave them slightly ajar. I always encourage headphones. Mm-hmm. Understand anxiety triggers such as sight of instruments, direct light, scrubs and mask, and dental diagnoses, like never put the needle in front of their face. Keep instruments and syringes out of the patient's sight. You want to direct light away from the patient's eyes or provide sunglasses. I have protective eyewear that's tinted. Do you?
We do too. I know there was a concern about not being able to see the patient's eyes, so make sure it's not so dark that you can't see their eyes, because that's like, if they're in pain, that's one of the things that you can see as they're responding to it. But
I used to feel like that too, but I've had it for probably 4 years and never had an issue.
Is that scientific evidence making it?
Yeah, oh, okay. I'm just saying.
It sounds like anecdotal.
I've not had it.
That's fine.
Oh, it is completely anecdotal. Okay. Pull down your mask when its use is not required. Be careful with that in infection control, though, guys. Sensations. Understand anxiety triggers such as the sensation of pain or dental instruments, anticipation of choking or gagging, and injections of anesthetic. Some people have a real hard time with that, especially when their tongue gets numb. They freak out. Acknowledge fears and assure the patient that caution and care will be taken. Narrate procedures and notify the patient about what will occur. Allow the patient to signal for breaks and to choose from alternatives whenever possible. Smells. Understand anxiety triggers such as the smell of methyl acrylic. I think that's right. Eugenol, carious teeth, handpiece burning, gloves, and perfume. And use low odor chemicals, improve airflow, and sparingly use air fresheners and essential oils. And essential oils have become kind of a big thing in operatories, I hear. You want to also avoid wearing perfume, which I do. And I know a lot of people are saying they still wear it.
I don't wear any cologne.
I think that's not. Because I'm super sensitive to other people. So I would hate that to be breathing in all your perfume. Taste, understand anxiety triggers such as the taste of blood, gloves, and nitrous oxide. Rinse and suction the patient's mouth frequently during the procedure and allow a means for the patient to signal when needing additional. Look for signs that the patient's distaste for latex gloves and nitrous oxide and other alternatives. So, yeah, pretty much you gotta like coddle these people, which I'm not good at. So when we want to, like, the place and time as nonverbal, how are we doing on time?
Well, yeah, we're over time, but continue on.
Consider what the spatial and temporal environment of the practice communicates about you. In the waiting area, you want to make sure it's always clean. You want to provide books, toys, and videos for children. Keep the area cool and comfortable. Suggest games or relaxation apps for the patient to download to. Oh, yeah, right. Operatory. Illuminate the workspace without direct light into the patient's eyes. Reduce ambient noise by closing doors, which I don't think is still okay because isn't there? There's got to be something about having closed doors and being a provider and stuff like that.
I don't think there's any problem with that, great. But we can talk about that another time.
Yeah, okay. Fully stock and equip each operatory. And let's look at... So there's something called Smiles Approach, and it's focus attention on the patient and coordinate communication with the patient. So smile frequently and always smile when greeting a patient. You want to make contact, touch the patient on the arm or hand when greeting the patient. Avoid touching the reclining patient's legs or feet. Incline towards the patient. So lean forward or tilt your head forward. Face the patient. You want to drop your hands when standing and place your hands in your lap when sitting. Keep your arms open and symmetric. Avoid gesticulating, particularly with instruments in your hand. Don't go waving your sharp instruments in their face. And make regular eye contact. So there's like a lot of little things that are very good nonverbal cues in this chapter and ways to, especially with your anxious patient and fear-based patients.
You know what? You know what though? Like, I've known doctors who work, they're so like impersonable that they work on all these things specifically. And they're like, okay, I'm sitting down. I have to put my hands in my lap. Okay. I'm eye contact. Like that. That's too much eye contact. Stop looking at their eyes. Quit touching
them.
But they don't know.
Good eye contact and there's creepy eye contact.
They read this chapter and they're like, okay, I have to do all of those things.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't think that's you, it's probably you. Or maybe ask somebody if that's
unaware
you.
Of that situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was story time with Michelle.
Good work.
And I hope you all have a great week and happy 4th.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold on. Go ahead and do that one more time. Bye what?
Bye, y'all.
Thank you.